Hi, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and as always, we have a dynamic hour prepared for you. And we're going to be going to my guest in just a moment, but I've been having requests from some people. They want to know the phone numbers that they can call into during the program. Here we have two, and this is later on in the hour. And you can call in the USA, toll-free 877-876-5227. Canada is 888-810-8322, and our direct line is 530-876-9146. So those are the telephone numbers. And keep a pad of paper and a pen handy. As always, on the Donna Sebo Show, you're going to want to know some things, and if you have that handy, you'll be able to write down the information very easily. The guest we have today is in California. Her name is Carol Ross Edmonston. We're going to be talking about two of her books. And, Carol, where are you in California?
I'm actually in Southern California, right up the road from Disneyland.
Wow, that's a good place to be.
Right.
Especially if you have a high-stress day. You can go to Disneyland and play.
Right.
If you have the time to do that. Carol has some wonderful books. And I became acquainted with Carol when she came out with her first book, which was called Create While You Wait, a doodle book for all the ages. Now, she has now been lovingly labeled the doodle lady, or I should say the doodle queen, really, but on her book, they call her the doodle lady. And it was just such a delight. And I know Larry Dossey had said on your first book that this was a highly original contribution that enables an individual to touch their own inner resources, leading to health and well-being. Now, Carol, you came out with this first book in, what was it, 2003?
Well, actually, yeah, that one I came out with second in 2003, and the first one I came out with right as I finished journeying through my second diagnosis of Brent's cancer in the late 90s.
Well, let's talk about the first one for just a little bit.
Okay.
Because when we went through, and we had discussed it, because I think it's good for my audience to know that you are a work in progress, and this is something that you started with, and you were developing a program for the City of Hope National Cancer City in Duarte. Am I remembering correctly?
Right. City of Hope National Cancer Hospital, yeah.
So there you were, and you did this so that it could sort of help people. But in the process, you were able to help yourself. Now, tell us what doodling is. I mean, I don't know of anybody that hasn't done it, but what is doodling? Define it.
Well, doodling for me was just giving myself permission to let my hand wander freely over a piece of paper without having any idea what I was creating or what it was going to look like. And the more I engaged in this creative art form, the more beautiful the pieces of art became. And believe me, I was not an artist at all. I was one of those paint-by-the-number sort of children that,
mm-hmm.
you know, I had to know what everything was going to look like before I would trust in the process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you, I had fun with your book. And it brought back memories of when I was in the seventh grade. And I had a teacher in the seventh grade that asked us to put a piece of paper in front of us on the desk and to have at that time it was a pencil, and they said, we want you to close your eyes and then we just want you to draw lines, you know, whichever way you want to draw them, but we don't want you to watch anything, and then to go ahead and describe what you see. Maybe the teacher was taking psychiatry, I have no idea, trying to see what we could come up with. But the thing was, I'll never forget that experience, because when I sat there and I just drew lines randomly, not knowing how they were going to turn out on the paper, I just did it with my eyes closed. And then to be asked to look at it and see what you see in it and to bring that to life, that's what I found in your books on the doodling. And you have so many wonderful, wonderful patterns. So here you are with this terrific book. And for those of you listening, this one that I'm talking about is called Create While You Wait. It's a doodle book for all ages. You could get this for yourself, for your children. It's wonderful. But now we're going to progress to Carol's second book. And the reason I wanted to talk about the first one is because that's like a ready-made workbook. You could just tuck it into your briefcase or your backpack, whatever you wanted to do, and have it handy. And if you were in a situation where you were really uptight or frustrated and you just needed to occupy yourself with something, you could get out of one of these. And also, you could use, with kids, you could have colored pencils, crayons, whatever, and just say, hey, get busy, do something, keep occupied. And keep, you know, it just does something with your mind. It's wonderful. Now, her second book, which is a recent publication, has a different theme to it, and it had a much different purpose, and it's a very special book. It's called Connections, The Sacred Journey Between Two Points. And it's Carol's spiritual journey through breast cancer. Now, Carol, what happened to you? When did you find out about this? I know that October, we were discussing this for a few seconds before we came on the air. October is a recognition of breast cancer. There's a lot of things going on during October. But I want you to tell us about your journey, because this book is, I think, in its own way, very powerful to help women and even maybe some men. But I think your story needs to be told first.
Well, I welcome the opportunity and thank you for the question. That book came about because I really needed to honor the amazing medical adventure I had through cancer and all the art that came out of it. So for your listeners, on each page there's a finished piece of art. And what I did was I went back through my personal journals and just pulled out the medical, the spiritual adventure, you know, on mm-hmm. each page. I was diagnosed in 1995, it happened to be in October, and then exactly 2 years later, in October of 1997. And, you know, I kind of got blindsided by this. You know, sometimes we have our plans for how we're going to have a day unfold, and we pick up the telephone and we get that unexpected call, or we go to a doctor and we get an unexpected report. And for me, on the first adventure through cancer, I was at a doctor's office, and I heard those words come out of his mouth, you know, this is a probable, you know, breast cancer, and we need to go in and do surgery. You know, and even the second time, it was a result of a telephone call, but both times, in those initial moments afterwards, those feelings of incredible fear and bewilderment, and wondering, you know, does this mean I'm going to die? That's absolutely the first thing that came through my mind. And does this mean that, you know, my husband's going to lose his wife and my son's going to lose his mother? And I remember having these, you know, conversations out loud to myself. You know, I thought I came with at least a 70-year guarantee. Mm-hmm. You know, and I had only been in, you know, my late 40s at the time. So for me, it was really about allowing and giving myself permission to be angry and let that anger come up and talk about the fear of that unknown future, and then move on to another place of asking myself, now what do I want to do?
Mm-hmm. You have in here a number of your notes. Like you said, after the experience that you went through, you pulled a lot of this out. And I noticed with your book, and I have it right here in front of me as we're chatting, that you keep repeating spiritual journey, and you say that that this enabled you to tap in to your own resources that you really didn't know that you had. And I think that that's so powerful, because there are so many different ways that this can be experienced. And I think that your doodling is part of what enabled you to weather some of these crises. And it is just amazing what you were able to produce. And, of course, in your book, you have these doodles that you did. And, of course, if someone wanted to color them in or whatever, they can do that, too. But I liked what you had to say. In the very first one in your book, you say, "Help, I've fallen into a pothole. A routine mammogram picked up a suspicious spot, and the biopsy came back as a non-invasive cancerous growth. In a few days, a surgeon will biopsy a larger area, and in a month, I will begin 6 weeks of radiation therapy. Wow. I'm stunned and feel numb. I just wanted to grow old without any serious medical conditions. Dear God, please hear my words and send some kind of message so I know you are with me. Guiding me as I walk through this event, my heart is strong and deep down I know I'll be fine, but everything is beginning to feel a bit off. This year has been a difficult one, and it doesn't seem to be getting any easier. That's pretty powerful, Carol.
Well, I'll tell you, the wonderful companion I've had in my life since the late 80s has been, I've been deeply immersed in Eastern philosophy and studying meditation. And that has been a great source of, a great path for me to be able to tap into my inner resources. The wonderful connection between that and the doodling is one of the great teachings that has guided me and has been guiding me through any challenge that's come into my life has been that teaching about how powerful the present moment is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when, as they always say, you know, to be here now, and when we are in this moment, we can get into that space, that inner world where our resources are. And it's one thing to learn teachings and to read about them and study them. It's another to be able to become the teaching and the doodling. Somehow I was able to connect the two together because doodling is all about total creative immersion in a spontaneous moment in time. And when I saw what I was creating on paper as a non-artist and how beautiful it looked when I had no idea what I was doing, I thought, well, if I can do this creatively, can I not take that same understanding through my journey of cancer and learn the same lesson, how to learn to trust and have faith in the process and let go of any attachment I might have to how things turn out.
You have another on another page, and I really like this. It reads, I feel so weird, like I'm moving in slow motion. I'm so used to moving at a rapid pace, and now I'm deliberately trying to be more still, or rather experience myself more as a be-er person. I feel as though I'm accomplishing very little because my frame of reference has always been about external accomplishments. It's now time to seek something else, the state of inner equipoise. Now, did I pronounce that word right? It's spelled E-Q-U-I-P-O-I-S-E.
Right. Equipoise. It's such a beautiful word, you know, not letting either, you know, the ups and the downs, the twists and the turns to knock us off that centered, calm space. I am a recovering doer, you know. I really am.
I've heard of everything,
yeah.
But you're a recovering doer?
At the expense of not knowing how to be. You know, my life's journey is so much about learning how to be in both worlds, making sure I learn how to nurture that quiet inner space. But prior to my diagnosis with breast cancer, I had spent 10 years coordinating Mrs. Reagan's drug program for children in Orange County in California,
mm-hmm.
and doing events and this and that. So I was always on the go, you know, from meeting to meeting, from planning. And I didn't really do a very good job of niching out quality time to nurture my own inner world, that spirit within. I was going on the go all the time.
When you're saying what you're saying, and this is all very spontaneous as I'm going through your book, I come across one of your doodles, and they are really quite exquisite. To turn the reins over to something someone greater than myself is scary. It means I must let go and trust in the process, and that frightens me, even though I know I will receive so much love in return. That was a level of understanding, as you said earlier, where you have to walk the walk and not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. Knowing how to let go, that was a day-to-day condition, wasn't it?
Sometimes, Donna, it was a moment-to-moment. You know, I break down the doodles when I do the workshops, and I have people look at all the twists and the turns in a piece of art, and you could look at one from the greatest perspective of that represents your life, and every twist and turn, a different adventure, a different chapter. But sometimes you can break it down to looking at those twists and turns as the experience between the in-breath and the out-breath. It depends what kind of day you're having.
Now, this one that I found, I think was just perfect. and it's so visual. Your words are really very visual. I bought 5 coconuts today. It is said that they represent our ego, our small self. I labeled 4 of them with the strongest feelings I had, anger, fear, feeling out of control, and scared. I took them outside and offered each one to God along with a prayer. Then one by one, I threw them to the ground and watched as they shattered into a million pieces. Tomorrow morning, before I go to the hospital for diagnostic tests, I will offer the remaining coconut. Now, that to me is so visual. It's absolutely wonderful to see you holding this one coconut, this hairy brown thing in your hand, saying, this is going to be my offering to the gods for before I go in the next day.
Right.
Why did you choose coconuts?
Well, in the spiritual path that I study, they do use coconuts as offerings. And the interesting thing for me in studying Eastern philosophy is much of my experience has been the experience without having a lot of the intellectual academic understanding, because I would have boxed in my experience. But, you know, in the process, I have learned that creating rituals is a powerful experience to have, and I needed to do something visual. I've also begun to appreciate how visual I am as a person,
mm-hmm.
and it gave me also that feeling of watching something shatter and break and dispelling and letting and offering all the fear. You know, I looked at fear as merely a projection into the unknown future,
mm-hmm.
where all those what-if scenarios live. So somebody had once told me that there are angels for every occasion. You know, there's angels that watch over us when we're on the freeways. There are angels that watch over us, you know, here and there. And I thought, well, you know, let me just offer this to the angels, and so I can then walk through medically what I needed to walk through and kind of step into that space of stillness without all my, you know, negative thoughts wandering all over my mind that day.
So you offered up a bunch of coconuts to angels. That is absolutely delightful. I like that visual.
And I will say that many, many times I don't exactly know what I'm doing. I just know that I need to do something that makes, you know, you won't find it on an academic textbook.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I'm married to, you know, a retired orthopedic surgeon who sometimes thinks I may have totally lost my mind, but I feel that sense of inner peace when I do these things. And as long as I feel that, then I know I've done what I need to do.
Well, I think having coconut angels are perfectly fine. I don't see anything wrong with that.
Why not? I live in Southern California. Anything goes.
No question. For those of you that have just tuned in, we're talking with Carol Ross Edmondson. We're talking about actually 2 of her books, but we're focusing on the one, Connections, A Sacred Journey Between 2 Points. This is her spiritual adventure through breast cancer, and we're sharing the different thoughts. And, of course, her book, you can get it at Amazon, and we're going to be giving you her website later on. But the reason we are sharing this with you is Carol has had this experience, and there are so many of you women that are listening to the show that maybe, and men too, there are so many of you that have had a loved one or a friend that has had cancer, breast cancer. I have had some friends that have passed away from this disease, and there are so many things we know, but the greatest enemy we have is fear. And she has been able to address it by doodling. And she has the one doodle book, which is Create While You Wait, which is ready-made. But you can have your own doodle book, and it's great for kids, too. Actually, it's for anyone. And you can use color, you can use just black and white, whatever you have handy. It doesn't make any difference. If you just have a blue ink pen, you can still make this a usable tool for yourself. And Carol made this a habit wherever she went. Whenever she's doing her writing, she would have her doodlings, and she saved them, and that's how she put this book together. And her artwork in here, even though she said she wasn't an artist, it is just absolutely wonderful. And you have a page here, guess what? The radiation machine broke down today, and graduation day has been postponed until Monday. What a great lesson in becoming too attached to outcomes. It's a good thing I didn't have a special party planned for tonight. I like the concept of what a great lesson in becoming too attached to outcomes.
Right. You know, my whole journey through cancer, if I were to say what's one of the greatest lessons that I learned was just that life truly is all about the journey and not the destination. And because I spent so many years doing a lot of events, you know, events, you are very targeted and on looking beginnings, middles, and ends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's where I felt safe in the world. That's where you would define faith for me. As long as I kind of knew what the outcome would be, then I would say I had a lot of faith. And I think breast cancer came into my life spiritually to teach me that I really could learn what faith was all about when I was just plopped into the middle without knowing how things would turn out. It's the greatest visual tool that doodling helped bring to me and teach me. It was like an open-eye meditation in that way.
Another part of your book, you said, I feel like a water bubble in a gently moving stream. Sometimes I stay in the middle, moving a little faster and reaching my final destination a little sooner. Then there are times I seem to drift off to the side, going round and round, yet arriving at the same destination a little later. So, what difference does it really matter? Water is water and the bubbles are the same. We come from the same source and we're going to the same place. We just need to enjoy our own unique journey as we travel downstream, remembering that each has a purpose. Some bubbles just need to take the longer route and the more scenic route, while others do not. That, I think, is especially poignant because that means you finally reached a point where you didn't have to go 10,000 miles an hour.
You know, that happened when I had spent a couple of weeks in a meditation retreat site in upstate New York, and I was wandering around one day, and I just stopped by the side of a little bubbling creek, and I sat there, and I was watching the water, and I was watching bubble after bubble, you know, how some went straight down the middle, and some got pulled off to the side, and it was an amazing one of those aha moments when the light bulb went off, and I realized, so what if I'm taking a little detour right now on the side? It doesn't mean that I'm not going to end up downstream. It just may take a little longer, that maybe I have a few lessons to learn that I wouldn't learn if I went racing, you know, in that fast lane right down the middle. It was. I will remember that day always when I wrote that.
Trust is a big word in life, and it consists of only 5 letters, but it is a very powerful word. Because when we can trust ourselves, which is part of what you discovered,
right,
going through this. Tell us about your perceptions of trust and what you learned in your journey.
Oh, gosh, so much. And I'm still learning. That's what I love about this journey, that, you know, sometimes I'm a teacher and most times I'm still the student.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate so much that within each and every one of us that there is an abundance of inner wisdom that we have. And if we would just quiet our minds and quiet all that external chatter and give ourselves permission to nourish that quiet inner space, we have so many of the answers that we're looking for, that in this modern world we keep thinking that they're only out there, you know, that
mm-hmm.
other people have it. I've learned that the intuitive voice is a huge one within me. I've learned that I don't receive any more than I have the capacity to handle. Many times I don't think that at the beginning, but it's proven itself time and time again. Well, I shared with you a little earlier that at this very moment I'm walking through such a medical challenge with 2 elderly parents in hospitals,
mm-hmm.
different hospitals down the street from one another, and I sometimes wonder how I'm going to trust in this whole journey, and yet what I've learned through the doodling, which has been my meditation vehicle, is that all I need to do is just trust in the moment I'm in, that just that moment I'm in, and that everything I need to handle whatever comes to me will reveal itself. Sometimes it just helps to just let go of thinking I have
mm-hmm.
to have it figured out.
Yes. I like this particular page. I especially like the first sentence. I am an artichoke.
Hmm.
Deep within is my delicate and rich center. I'm engaging in a process where my outer layers are slowly peeling away. Sometimes fear and terror get in the way, and then God steps in with a cup of warm water, gently pouring it over me, and those tough outer leaves just seem to fall away. I must always remember that gentle touch is everywhere. Coconuts, artichokes, there's this little bit of humor and description that's in what you say, and yet your message is so touching to the heart, to the mind, and to the spirit. And then the doodling that goes along with it is really, really good. And when you are, when you were pulling this out, we have listeners that want to be writers, that want to do things. How were you able to choose what it was you wanted to express, Carol, from what you had acquired in your notes? How did you choose to put this material in your book?
Wow. I, you know, prior to even coordinating Mrs. Reagan's drug program, my degree is in physical therapy, so I knew nothing about, you know, putting books together.
Mm-hmm.
One day I took all the art and I kept asking myself, you know, how do I do this? You know, I put all the art all over the floor on the right side of me. I went into my personal journals and I had typed everything I had in there and put all those pieces of paper down on the floor on the left side of me. And just the ones that really pertain to my adventure through breast cancer. And I just sat there in meditation for a while quietly because I had no idea really how to do this. And I remember somebody once telling me, you don't need to have it figured out. You just need to take the first step and let's see what unfolds. So I put on incredibly wonderful music to engage the senses. And I just picked up a piece of art in my one hand, and I picked up a piece of writing in my other hand, and I let them just come together. There's really no rhyme or reason in the pages of writing and the pieces of art. They're all randomly put together. And I just let it happen, and then I had fun changing the fonts on the writing in the book, and the one person I turned to really help me to give me a sense of, am I doing this right, happened to be my son, who's now 30 years old, but he's a true, you know, Renaissance being, a very gifted scholar and writer and artist, and so I thought, let him help me, because I'm not sure I know what I'm doing, and he really gave me the pat on the back. He said, you're doing great.
Well, I can recommend highly Carol's two books, and I feel that they are just wonderful productions. They're wonderful tools to work with, no matter what your age. And I'll mention them again. Create While You Wait, a doodle book for all ages. And then her recent one, Connections, a Sacred Journey Between Two Points, her spiritual adventure through breast cancer. Make a wonderful gift for a friend. If you know of anyone that's experiencing something like this, make a great gift. And Carol has a website called sacreddoodles.com. And that's 2Ds, sacredanddoodles.com. Carol, it has been so wonderful having you on the air today. Before we close out on this interview, do you have something special you would like to leave my audience with in the way of a thought?
Well, I do also just want to let your audience know that the books now are available on my website directly. I would say the one thought that I would love to leave your audience with is just the amazing, you know, reminder that we don't always have a choice as to what comes into our life, but we absolutely have a choice in how we respond to things. So just to remember to take deep breaths before we jump in, and hopefully that will bring us back to a more centered space, and to know that we absolutely do not receive any more than we have the capacity within to handle.
Carol Ross Edmondson, Connections, a Sacred Journey Between Two Points, her spiritual adventure through breast cancer. Don't forget her website, sacreddoodles.com. Carol, it's been a delight having you as a guest. Thank you for being
with
me today.
Well, you're welcome.
This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be taking a break. Don't you go away now. We've got some good things to share with you, plus a super-duper recipe, and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. So you're not going to want to miss any of it. Donna Sebo here. We'll be back in just a moment. Hello, this is Donna Sebo. Apparently, we're having some technical difficulties. Well, we now have open telephone lines. And if you would like to call into the show and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, then what you can do is go to the telephone and dial this number if you're in the U.S., 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Or toll free from Canada, 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. And then we also have a direct line, 876-9146. And we do want to encourage you to share with your friends that BBS Radio has all kinds of shows that are archived. And just know that you can go in and, for example, with the Donna Sebo Show, you can tap under on the right side of the homepage, Donna Sebo Show, and you'll be able to go in, see the listing of guests that are going to be coming up, and all kinds of information available to you if you so desire. And we always enjoy your comments and your feedback on various things, whether it's the guests that we have or anything else that you feel we need to know about. So make BBSRadio.com a regular part of your listening habit, because I know you will enjoy it. And I'm always delighted to have you share the time with me. Now, I want to let you know tomorrow we're going to be talking with Margot Woodacre. We're going to be talking with this mom who, along with her daughter, had kept a diary on what they were going through when their daughter left home to go off to college. Do any of you have an experience like that coming up? Well, I'll Miss You Too, the book, is really going to give you some good insights about what you can expect, perhaps, and what you may need to deal with in the way of adjustments. And then next week, I know we've got a major holiday weekend that's going to be coming up. Michael Shahani was going to be my guest on Monday, but that has been changed. We're going to have an open mic hour on the 4th of September. It's a holiday for so many of you, so if you want to call in then, you can do it too. And then on the 5th, we're going to be talking with B.J. Gallagher. This is one dynamic lady. We're going to be talking about her fun book, Yes, in the Land of No, How to Deal with Rejection. And then Dr. Greg Cadgola is going to be with me. Why am I so afraid? Do you have problems dealing with fears? What is it that causes them? Well, we'll be addressing that. And then You're Too Smart for This Kind of a Beating, 100 Lies About Your First Job. But it can be something that you can find very, very useful. And then, of course, on the 8th, we're going to be having a Best of Donna. There's something special that's going to go on, so we'll be doing a repeat of a particular program, and all of that information is listed up on the web. We've got information about business. We're going to be talking about how to train dogs. We're going to be talking about so many different things, and you're not going to want to miss any of it, because it's all very insightful, very talented people that we're going to be able to share the airwaves with. Now, I got a wonderful letter from someone, Judy is her name, and she sent me a recipe, and she said, Donna, these are basic, low, and non-gluten cookies. So I thought I'd share them with you. So many people are intolerant with wheat, and if we have a sweet tooth, that is really a tough thing to deal with, and sometimes fruit will do it, and other times it won't. So this is a recipe that she's developed for her family, and I thought I would share it. And this is how it goes. So if you've got that pad of paper handy and pen, then you'll want to know about this. There's a half a cup of barley or oat flour. And if you want oat flour, if you've got regular oatmeal at home, dried oatmeal, stone ground, then all you need to do is put it in your Cuisinart or your blender and then just let it churn until it becomes flour. But you need a half a cup of the barley or the oat flour, and you need a half a cup of brown rice flour, and you can make that by doing the same thing. I have one of those grinders, and I just put the rice in the grinder, and before you know it, you got a brown rice flour. Half a cup of brown rice flour, a quarter of a cup of tapioca flour, and you need a quarter of a teaspoon of salt, a half a teaspoon of baking powder, and also a half a teaspoon of baking soda, and a half a teaspoon of baking soda. And you need a half a cup of nuts, whatever you like, doesn't make any difference, just a half a cup, and you want to chop them. Then you need a half a cup of dried fruit, or if you want, chocolate chips. And she said any dried fruit will do, whatever is your preference. So it's a half a cup each of nuts and dried fruits or chocolate chips. Now, what she recommended is that you take a medium-large bowl and put all your dry ingredients in and then just toss them with a fork. I like to use a whisk. And so you just whisk it all together. It's just really easy. Now, here are your wet ingredients. And these can go in a blender or any other, you know, mixer if you wanted to. You're going to need a quarter of a cup of olive oil, quarter of a cup of olive oil, a quarter of a cup of brown rice syrup, quarter of a cup of brown rice syrup. You need a quarter of a cup of granulated organic sugar, a quarter of a cup of granulated organic sugar. You need 1 teaspoon of lecithin and 1 tablespoon of vanilla. 1 teaspoon of lecithin and 1 tablespoon of vanilla. Now, by the way, this will make up, I think, about 2 dozen cookies. Now, she said, this is what you need to do. You mix your olive oil and your lecithin, and then you add the sweeteners one at a time. And this all can be done in a blender, followed by your flavoring. And you let it blend for about 3 to 5 minutes. So just let the machine do its stuff. Set your timer if you want, but just let it roll. Then you want to take that liquid blend, and you want to pour it into your dry ingredients and combine them until all is absorbed. And then what you do is bake small to medium rounds of the dough on cookie sheets. 350 degrees is the temperature for a preheated oven. And you need to watch the cookies because your oven temperature can vary enough where you don't want these to burn. So you just want to keep an eye on them. Start them off at 12 minutes. And dependent on the stability of your oven temperature, you might want to let them go until 15. But 12 minutes minimum, 15 minutes max. And these do spread out, Judy said, in cooking. And she said, if you like, if you want a different flavor, you can add a teaspoon of a spice like cinnamon to your dry ingredients, and then you can omit the vanilla. But I'll tell you what, I like vanilla in almost everything that I bake. And I know that she said you could omit the vanilla, but I think I'd still keep it in because it really does add something, and it seems to enhance. Vanilla has a wonderful way of enhancing anything that it adds. That it's added to. I don't know why, but it's just a magical flavoring. And I like to use the real vanilla whenever that's possible because it just is so much better, I think, than the artificial. But I want to thank Judy for that wonderful recipe. And again, this is for those of you that just cannot handle gluten and you satisfy that sweet tooth, and let your imagination roam. You know, you can always put in other types of ingredients that you like. Maybe you like raisins or something else. But remember, that's one of the dried fruits, too, that you can use. Donna Sebo here. Give me a call if you'd like to chat. It's 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. That's here in the U.S. If you'd like to call in from Canada, you can call me at 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. And that's for Canada. And then we also have a direct line, 530-876-9146. Now, I had started to tell you about animals yesterday, and I wanted to share some information with you about acupuncture in animals. I think it's absolutely fabulous today that we are looking at alternative options for wellness with people, but also with animals. And I know of individuals that have had their animals worked on by chiropractors. And I mean, I've known people that have owned horses that they've had chiropractors come out and work on their horses, and the animals just feel so much better afterwards. There are people that are becoming therapists, massage therapists for animals. Well, acupuncture is something that really can benefit people tremendously, and I just have such a respect for it. And in the hands of a skilled practitioner, it really can make a difference. And I wanted to share with you a couple of stories about animals that have been able to get to a point of wellness because of this amazing technique. Now, this is about a dog called Abby, and she had had her leg mangled at birth, and there was a cast on it. She was adopted by a lady, Mary Beth, and Mary Beth determined that she was going to get Abby surgery and medication and that she would be a lot better. However, she was surprised to find that it helped a little bit. But after they had done the surgeries, the docs told her, the vet, I should say, told her, your dog is never, ever going to walk correctly again. And Mary Beth said to Abby, I don't know what I'm going to be able to do, but I'm going to help you in some way. Well, the pain medication that Abby was given made her sick, and what she decided she was going to do was call a veterinarian who was an acupuncturist. And, of course, the practitioners of acupuncture believe that stimulating pressure points gets the energy in the body flowing if there's any blockages, and it eases disease and relieves pain. Now, what they have found in studies, acupuncture boosts the immune system and releases natural painkillers. Now, there was a Spokane veterinarian, Dr. Rosemary Esternino, that inserted needles into Abby and even got sleepy. Abby got sleepy as a mild electric current passed through them. And she is able to move and walk and is very much like a normal dog now. So there was a combination of things. It was a combination because the leg was mangled that the previous veterinarians were able to do the surgery, and then the acupuncturist was able to help the body help itself. So it's just really, really amazing. But what about a goat? Well, if it helps the dog, why couldn't it help a goat? Well, Melaine Sullivan, she loves pygmy goats, and they are so adorable. Well, there was this problem with this little pygmy goat, and her name was Hiccup. Yes, isn't that adorable? It's named Hiccup. Now, Hiccup had 3 crushed neck vertebrae, and the reason she had the crushed vertebrae is that when she was born, her delivery was very, very difficult, and it was something that just occurred in the process. And Melaine took her little pygmy goat home, and she was amazed at how this little goat was persistent about being able to move. She didn't think that her little friend was going to be with her for very long. Well, then she learned about veterinary acupuncture. And Hiccup went through some treatments for a few weeks, and you know what? She has just got such a drive to live, Melaine says, that thanks to Chinese medicine, she now is well. The acupuncture helped her. So those are just a couple of stories. They're about animals, I know, but it's a good demonstration that sometimes one thing won't work and something else will. So you never should give up hope. You don't know where the answer is going to come from. And I think too frequently we will assume that we don't have any options. Sometimes professionals will say, this is the way it is. There's no options at all. Well, when somebody gives you that kind of a verdict, try to gather momentum, not unlike my guest today, a momentum of saying, I have choice. What choices am I going to look to? And the greatest choice you can ever make is to personally empower yourself. Ask questions. Don't be afraid to look at alternative options. Life isn't a black and white. It's got an amazing array of selections. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break for a moment. 877-876-5227 if you'd like to give me a buzz, or 888-810-8322. That's in Canada. Don't go away. We're going to be back in just a moment. Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. By the way, my newsletter is going to be coming out in the next couple of days. And in my newsletter, I'm going to be telling you about where I'm going, because this lady's going to be traveling these next couple of months. This month of September, which is just tomorrow starting, I am going to be in 2 states, in Alaska and in New York. So if you're in either one of those areas, you're going to be able to find out when I'm going to be in those local areas. If you'd like to meet with me privately for consultations, that will be available, or if you wanted to do it by phone. But anyway, all of that is going to be coming out. It probably will be going out tomorrow and also on Saturday, because I have quite a sizable mailing list, so we usually have to do it within 2 days. But anyway, that information is going to be available. And if you'd like to be on my email list for my monthly newsletter to find out what's going on, then I encourage you to just send me an email to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. And just put in your address so that I can add it to the list we already have. Or if you don't want to do that, if you're like so many people who say, oh, I get so much stuff done, I don't want anything else, but I want to know that I can get to it, then just go into my website. Just go into Delphi International, D-E-L-P-H-I International.com. Go to my front page, and you'll see to the left a little button that says newsletters. And you can go in there, and you can read all of my newsletters. They're all archived from years and ago, and the current one is up there for you to read, and I want to encourage you to do that. Also, while you're there, won't you stop by the glyconutrients page on my website? Just tap that button after you finish with the newsletter, or go to it first, whatever you prefer. But glyconutrients, nutrition is so important. I have some wonderful points of information to share with you in the next few months, and so I would invite you to go to my page site there on the information. And then if you have any calls about it, want to learn more about these nutritional discoveries, then give me a call at my office, which is 800-872-8852. That's my office number. Kids, wow, so often you have to find things for them to do during the summer. Sometimes it can get a little bit taxing. Well, how about some games that will keep them busy? Well, how about buried treasure? Ah, yes. Kids love to find things. Well, what you do, you collect your loose change, and if you're like so many, you have buku pennies. And what you do is hide it throughout a specific hunting area. You can do it in the house, you can do it in the backyard, and then let the kids find the money. And you can have a variation on the theme. You can divide the kids up and the money into two teams and let one team hide the money in a different area and then have a race against the clock to see which team can find the most treasure. So each team would find the money. Or you could have one team hide the money and the other try to find it or whatever you want to do. And if there's a lot of kids, group them by age and size. Otherwise, the quicker and faster ones will get all of the coins. Also, another trick, follow the clues. You can do a treasure hunt. You know, try foil-wrapped chocolate coins, maybe some colorful plastic jewelry or pebbles that you've spray-painted to look like gold nuggets, and you write clues on sticky notes that lead them from one to the next. And then you can hide them so that only a small part of the note juts out and hand out the first clue to start the hunt. And I can remember doing something like this when I was a kid, and we did it from house to house. We had maps that were drawn out. I'm sure so many of you have had similar experiences. But the kids really love it. Treasure hunts are just so much fun. Also, you could have a nature scavenger hunt. There's so much going on during the summer months. And what you can do is photocopy a list of about 20 small items that can be found in your neighborhood. Some examples, a pink flower petal, an acorn, a dandelion, a red leaf, maybe a pine cone, a pebble, colored pebble, white pebble, a feather, a leaf that an insect has chewed. You can hand the list to each player, and then the first child to find them all wins. Just a lot of fun. Of course, you want to have some kind of prize or some kind of reward, and it's fun when everybody gets to enjoy something. Good way to handle it, give small candies to all and maybe a bigger version of the same candy to the winner. But you've got so many options. There's so many things that can be done. Your imagination is what you just need to utilize, and you can have a lot of fun putting this together. So much fun that you'll want to do perhaps more than once. I know of a family that every time they have a reunion, they do it once a year, there is a particular member of the family that just delights in coming up with all kinds of games. This person will make up and invent games that nobody else will even think of, and everybody gets so excited. So they work on this all year long just so they can do it at their family reunion. So remember, there's always fun things that can involve, well, the members of family or friends of all ages. Also, when you're wanting to have a babysitter or keep your kids occupied, the computer is absolutely wonderful. And I want to share with you some sites that you can go to if you have kids. There's Coloring in Cyberspace. Now, this is the first time I'd ever heard of this. The website is coloring.com, www.coloring.com. And your kids can color right on the computer screen, and you can also print out the material if you like, and then they can color the actual pages. And then there's also letting a celebrity read to them. There's storylineonline.net, storylineonline.net. And there's famous movie stars that you can have read a story to your child. And then they're solving a puzzle. They've got a wonderful site called thekidspage.com, and that's thekids, K-I-D-Z, page.com. And you can choose from all kinds of themes in it. There's also a game site that you can go to, and it's http://yahoolegends.yahoo.com. That's Yahoo, Yahoo.com. They even have arcade games that are ongoing there. And you know what? If you grown-ups are feeling left out, well, there's a site for you, too. Miniclip.com. Mini, M-I-N-I, clip.com has all kinds of games for adults if they want to unwind, like trivia questions and just all kinds of wonderful things. So you don't have to feel like you're going to be left out. But I think you're going to have a tough time getting it away, the computer away from the kids once they find out about the... A lot of fun, a lot of things to do. Well, my goodness, we've run out of time. I want to remind you that tomorrow we're going to be talking with Margot Woodacre, and we're going to be talking about like being a mom, having a daughter going off to college, and the diaries that she and her daughter kept. And that's what this book is all about, how to deal with a big change in your life. Well, it is a magnificent day out there. Know that wherever you are, you're blessed a millionfold, and those blessings are just going to keep on coming because the universe is never limited. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. You have a magnificent day and evening wherever you are in this wonderful world of ours, and we'll be talking to you tomorrow. Bye for now.